This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. NFL draft is less than 4 weeks away. The month has turned to April. We are in the 2024 NFL draft month. Here at Saturday Sunday, we continue to cover things wire to wire. Tonight, we end the Tier Buster series. We've went through the quarterback tiers and rankings. We've went through the running back tiers and rankings. Last week was the amazing wide receiver tiers and rankings. And we conclude the Tier Buster series tonight with the tight end class. And then over the next couple of weeks, hopefully some great guests from the industry to pick their brain about these offensive skill players. And then obviously the week of the NFL draft, final ranking show, final projection show, the launch of the draft projections notebook. And then obviously each night of the NFL draft, instant reaction pods, recapping night one, round one, recapping day two, the rounds two and three, and then recapping day three, rounds four through seven. We will cover every single round of the NFL draft, talk about almost every single pick the first three rounds, and then a lot of the picks in rounds four through seven as well. By the end of draft weekend, we'll also have our immediate instant dynasty rookie ranking. So if you have a 2024 NFL dynasty rookie draft that weekend or the beginning of the following week, you'll have my instant rankings immediately as well. So let's get right into it. Again, let's start first collectively as a whole. This class, very different than last year. Last year was probably in the running for the best tight end class since Saturday Sunday started. Last year's class, the only other one that was close to it was the David Njoku, Evan Ingram year when we had three guys, and O.J. Howard, where we had three guys go round one. Last year, you know, great class with Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta, Luke Musgrave, you know, Michael Mayer. This year is not that. We don't have four guys who are going to go in the top 40 picks or so of the NFL draft. But what we do have is an elite level prospect that we have not had since Kyle Pitts came out. We have a guy who warrants top 10 consideration. Whether he sneaks into the latter part of the top 10 or he falls to somewhere in that 11 through 15 range is to be determined. I think he will come off the board somewhere between 10 and 15. But then after that, we have an interesting tier two group, which I think is kind of guys that could go somewhere in the middle of round two through round three. And then we have some interesting guys who can go somewhere on day three. And then obviously some intriguing late round guys. So that's kind of the setup as a whole. I do think some of those guys on day two are intriguing prospects. I like them more than guys like last year. You know, we saw guys like Brenton Strange and Luke Schoonmaker get really pushed up the board. I kind of like all the guys on day two this year that I think are in the day two mix. I think some of them will fall to round four because I have six guys with a day two grade. I don't think six guys are going to get taken in day two. So I think a couple of them will fall until the early portion of round three. I mean, the early portion of day three, round four. But I do think they all warrant consideration in that day two mix, especially after we saw NFL teams be intrigued with guys like Brenton Strange and Luke Schoonmaker. I think these guys offer more ceiling, more upside, more pass catching ability than those guys. So that's kind of a breakdown as a whole in the tight end group. So let's kind of get right into the tiers, what we look at in terms of the tight end tiers. So for tier one, this is a first round or early second round selection in the NFL draft. We consider these guys late one to early round two dynasty rookie picks, capability to be a complete tight end or create mismatches regularly as a pass catcher. I will say if we're talking tight end premium or two tight ends, then we're probably talking the first half of round one. But these are guys that are thought of very highly, that somewhere, if it's a standard one tight end league, we're probably talking first round to the early portion of round two. As I mentioned before, this group is a tier of one, and that is Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Listen, he doesn't have the prototypical frame of a lot of tight end prospects, you know, like that you would love. You know, we're talking about a guy, you know, who, you know, 6'3", 240 per eight. He's but if you're drafted in that high, you have to understand who he is, what he is. He's aggressive and will give his all blocking in terms of in the open field. But in terms of, he's not going to be a guy you're going to want in line much, doing much blocking like that. But what he offers is great athleticism, speed, movement skills, acceleration, quickness. He offers ability after the catch to pick up yards. He can attack the seam. He's got great body control and ball skills. He's got good hands. He can adjust. He's a good route runner. He can separate. He can be a focal point of an offense. You can run an offense through him, like the Chiefs run an offense through Travis Kelce. You know, like we've seen in the past, the Raiders running offense through Darren Waller and other stuff. So he's got that type of upside to be a guy you can run the offense through. I think pick 10 is where you really start talking about him with the New York Jets. If not, I think he'll be gone somewhere there in the early teens. 10 I think is the earliest. 15, 16 would be the latest. I could see Brock Bowers going off the board based on that upside. If we take this to my tier two, what constitutes a tier two tight end at our exclusive S2S tier breakdowns? This is a mid-round two, Peru round three selection. So we're basically talking, this is almost like pick 45, pick 50, to basically like pick 100, 105. So it's a wide range. We see guys sneak in the latter part of the top 100. We see guys sneak into day two from the tight ends that are unexpected. Like I talked about Brenton Strange and Luke Schoonmaker last year. So we think there's a mid round two to late round three rookie pick in the NFL drafts. In terms of dynasty rookie drafts, we're talking mid late round two to mid round three dynasty rookie pick if they're a receiving tight end. Several average to above average traits to contribute immediately to the passing game and be at least adequate as a blocker, or displays at least adequate receiving and very good to great blocking capabilities. Now, I do think that last part, in today's day and age, I don't think you're going to see too many guys go on day two that are just very good to great blocking capabilities and adequate receivers. But you can make the case, though, while it's rare, we did see it last year. Luke Schoonmaker was a great blocker and had average receiving skills based on what we saw in Michigan, and he went. So I do think there's a little bit of a dynamic here that's a little bit tricky when you're trying to put in NFL draft projection and fantasy rookie projection into the mix here. So that's kind of why it could be anywhere from mid or late round two in a rookie pick to mid round three in dynasty rookie picks. And if there are guys with exclusive blocker, they might be able to fall even a little bit further down. You know, it really kind of depends. You know, on how that kind of works itself out for sure. Guys who are in this tier for me include, first off, is Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. Next up is Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. Third is Cade Stover out of Ohio State. Theo Johnson is fourth in this tier, fifth overall out of Penn State. Next up is Eric All out of Iowa, and then Jared Wiley out of TCU. That makes up my tier two here. So those are the guys that I do think could go somewhere middle of round two to late round three. Now, I will say this. I think Brock Bowers is going to go in the top 15. I don't think we're going to have another tight end selected until round three. I don't think Jatavion Sanders is going to go round two anymore. I think he's closer to the end of round three than he is the early portion of round two. It hasn't been a great pre-draft process for him, even though I like him as a player. So I do think we're going to see Brock Bowers go early, and then I think we're going to see, my guess is approximately 45 to 50 picks come off the board before we have the second tight end, which I think will be Jatavion Sanders, but I think it's up for debate. And then I do think we'll see a couple go in round three, and then some of these guys I have in this tier are not going to go on round three, and they're going to fall to the early portion of round four. But I think it's very hard to decipher how the NFL teams are going to view these guys. I think they all have skill sets warranting a day two pick because of either their complete package, their athletic pedigree, their upside. So I'm intrigued by this tier. I think it's an interesting tier. Like I said, I think three or four of these guys are going to go in round three, and then some of them will fall to the next portion. Jatavion Sanders, good size, average frame. I think his athleticism on the football field, I think, is good. I don't think he tested out as a great athlete, but I think he's got good athleticism, movement skills, play speed, quickness, and yak ability. I think he's a good route runner who shows separation quickness. He's got very good body control, ball skills, and the hands with the ability to high point. I think he's a starting tight end. But again, the pre-draft process has not been very kind to Jatavion Sanders. So I do think that he is moving down boards. Once upon a time, I thought he could have been an early to mid-second round NFL pick. I think now he's more of a round three pick. Ben Sinnott is a guy who has absolutely been really productive in the pre-draft process here. Good size and frame. He tested out as a very good athlete. You also saw that on the football field when watching his film. He has really good movement skills. He's got the speed to attack the seam. He produces yak ability. He's got good route running and separation quickness. He was a focal point of their pass offense. I talked about that a lot this year. He's got ball control. He's got body control, ball skills. He's got good hands, receiving tight end with, I think, a lot of pass catching upside. Next up, you got Kate Stover, one of the more complete tight ends. Good size and frame. He's got good athleticism, movement skills, and separation quickness. He's got good physicality to create space at the catch point to win contested catches. He's got good body control and ball skills, shows the ability to high point and has good hands. Also upside to become a starting tight end at the next level as well. Next up in that tier is Dio Johnson out of Penn State. This is a guy, listen, I know a lot of people are having a hard time understanding, but he tested out as an elite level tight end athlete. One of the best athletes it ever has came through the tight end position. So we're talking about a guy, great size and frame, great athleticism, movement skills, speed and burst, good catch radius. He shows the ability to high point and adjust, average route runner. To me, he's a tight end too with the upside traits to become a starting tight end. So that what makes him so thing is, do I think he always plays to that level of athleticism? No. But I think the fact that he possesses it, I think, really speaks volumes of him. I think he's got some route running to work on. He doesn't have a lot of production at the next level. So I think those are areas that Dio Johnson could improve. When I was talking about Cade Stover, same thing. I think his route concepts, his route running, releases off the line of scrimmage are some areas of development for him. Jatavion Sanders, I think you're not going to ask him to do much blocking in line. Not going to be a guy who holds a point of attack much. So those are some areas for him as well. And then the end of this tier is Eric Wall out of Iowa, formerly of Michigan. Great size and frame. He's a good athlete. He shows quickness and movement skills. He can attack the seam. He can pick up yards after catch. He's got good body control and ball skills. I like his length to win at the catch point. He's versatile to play inline as a tight end too, or as an H-back with starter upside. And then Jared Wiley, last guy I want to talk about here, out of Boise State, is another intriguing player here that I do think NFL teams are going to be really intrigued with, Jared Wiley. So Jared Wiley out of Boise State, great size, good frame, another guy, good athleticism, speed and movement skills. He's got great length and hands. I like the play strength. I like the late separation he creates with that physicality and toughness to win contested catches. I think he's a depth tight end with the upside to become a starter at the next level too. I think there's some inconsistency in terms of his blocking techniques. I don't think he has a lot of separation quickness at the top of his routes. And I think there's some route refinement there, but I do think he's a guy who's kind of rising up draft boards. I could see him on that round three, round four border as well. Really intriguing player there as well. Like I'm saying, this section right here is really intriguing in terms of what I think could happen, because I think you're talking about, besides Brock Bowers, then you got Jatavion Sanders, which I'd be stunned if he's not somewhere in that round three mix, but I don't think he's round two necessarily anymore. I think he's more round three, and then you got a couple of these other guys that are going to sneak into round three as well. Next up, if we take this to who constitutes my tier three tight ends. Now, tier three for us, we consider round four, round five selections in the NFL draft. They're late round three to round four dynasty rookie picks. If they're a receiving tight end, they possess several average traits to contribute in the passing game, or at least adequate as a blocker. On the flip side, they could also be at least adequate receiving and above average to good blocking capabilities. So, guys who make up our tier three of tight ends. In our tier three, guys that we think could be round four, round five selections in the NFL draft. Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Dallin Hulker out of Colorado State. Tip Ryman out of Illinois. Devin Culp out of Washington, and A.J. Barner out of Michigan. Let's start with Jaheim Bell. He's a little bit of a jack of all trades. I've compared him a lot to Chig Okonkwo. You're going to have a plan for Jaheim Bell. He's got really good athleticism, movement skills, really good receiver. You could do some manufactured touches with him. He's got some running back in his background. So Jaheim Bell is going to be a versatile chess piece. He's not going to be a traditional tight end. You got to know that going into him. But I think just like a team was enamored by Chig Okonkwo, I think a team's going to find Jaheim Bell very interesting somewhere in round four or round five. Tanner McLaughlin, not a household name that a lot of people know of, but I think he's one of those guys that people should become a little bit more familiar with. He's got a basketball background, great size, average frame, good athleticism, movement skills. He's got speed and quickness to attack the seam. He shows body control and ball skills with the ability to adjust. He's a willing blocker with great effort. To me, he's adept with tight end two upside at the next level, but intriguing with that basketball background. Tip Ryman, he's another guy who's really been skyrocketing up draft boards. I could see him even being a surprise late round three pick. He's a really good blocking tight end at the next level, but he's got very good athleticism and movement skills. He's a functional pass catcher that can settle down for a zone. He's got very good length, play strength, power, and physicality. Really intriguing guy. So he's one of those guys that checks off those boxes. And we're talking about a guy who steps onto the football field and he's already above average to good NFL blocking tight end. He was a great blocking tight end in college. That's his bread and butter. That's his top level trait. But you combine that with his athleticism, you're going to talk about a guy who's going to intrigue people at the next level because they know that he can function already as a secondary tight end or start in two tight end sets as that blocking tight end. But then when you add the athleticism into the mix, that intrigues teams because we're talking about some maybe untapped pass catching upside based on that athleticism. Obviously, a limited receiving production in terms of his pass catching skills, but we're talking about a guy that with that level of athleticism combined with the blocking skills, is you're gonna see a guy who really intrigues NFL teams at the next level. Dallin Holker out of Colorado State, he's really interesting because he's a guy who put up really productive stats in college, average athleticism, movement skills, quickness, and speed. But he shows the ability to attack the seam. He's got really good body control and ball skills. He shows good length and catch radius. He shows the ability to go up and get it, high point and adjust to the football. I think he's a depth pass catching tight end at the next level. I don't think he's going to be a guy you're going to have to hold the point of attack much. He shows some inconsistent play strength and blocking techniques. Some other guys that are rounding out there, Devin Culp out of Washington, A.J. Barner out of Michigan. Now, Barner is very much like we just talked about with Tip Ryman, a guy who's a really a good blocking tight end. He has room to develop even into a better blocker and become a tight end too. Plays with great effort and play demeanor. To me, he's a depth inline wide tight end, but has growth and development there. He shows good play strength. I think he's on tape, he's an average athlete. He's got average athleticism, average play speed. Not a lot of production. I think there's some inconsistencies in his blocking techniques, but I think they can kind of be cleaned up and refined a little bit. Not a guy who has a lot of receiving production to his name. And then Devin Culp out of Washington, he's another guy. You're talking about a guy who average size, undersized frame, but very good athleticism, speed, quickness, and movement skills, good body controls with the ability to high point and adjust to make difficult catches, can attack the seam and get vertical. To me, he's a depth pass catching tight end. You're not going to ask him to do much in terms of holding the point of attack. The play strength's a little bit of an issue for inline duties, not inconsistencies in terms of blocking techniques. And has had some drop issues in the past. But the athleticism is what makes him a little bit of an intriguing prospect for sure. Next up, if we go to my final tier for the tight ends, and that is tier four. This is late round six or round seven to UDFA selections in the NFL draft. These are late round or watch list dynasty rookie picks. They're depth players. They possess some average traits that can contribute to a team's passing and or running game. These also may include players we've had limited exposures to make a true and ultimate final determination. Guys who are in this tier consist of Brevin Spanford out of Minnesota, Isaac Rex out of BYU, McCollin Castles out of Tennessee, Austin Stogner out of Oklahoma, Zach Hines out of South Dakota State. Not going to go through all of those guys, but the main guy I want to talk about there is Brevin Spanford out of Minnesota. This is a guy that's been on people's radar for quite some time. This is a guy who has got rare, and I mean rare, size and frame for the tight end position. We're talking 6'6", 260 pounds, a above average athleticism, movement skills, quickness, and speed for a man that size. He's got great length and catch radius. He's shown the ability to high point and go up and win contested catches. He creates some late space at the catch point. Good play strength to me. He's a depth tight end somewhere selected on day three. Route refinement's an issue. Separation quickness in and out of his breaks for a guy that size. You want him to be a more dominant blocker, but I think there's some inconsistent in terms of his blocking techniques. He doesn't dominate at the contested catches as you would expect for a man his size. And there's been some drops and hand issues as well. But he's the guy that I think from that group would intrigue me the most from there. So there it is, guys. My tiers. If we're talking about tier jumpers, I don't think there's anybody that can jump into tier one. I've kind of talked about that. I think Brock Bowers stands alone. I don't think Jatavion Sanders has a chance to be a late round one to, or even early to mid round two rookie pick. I don't even think he's a lock to be the second tight end off the board anymore. I think that's now opened up. I think you could see a guy like Ben Sinnott surprise or Cade Stover or even Theo Johnson. I think all those guys are in the mix. So I don't think there's any jumpers from tier two into tier one. I kind of mentioned it before, though. I do think if there's somebody who could jump from tier three into tier two, I think the guy you want to keep an eye on is Tip Ryman out of Illinois. Like I said, one of the best blocking tight ends in the class, but a lot of athleticism that could mean untapped pass catching upside at the next level. So Tip Ryman would be the guy that I would be very intrigued with. He could be a tier jumper. And then I just kind of talked about him as a tier jumper from tier four into tier three. There might be a team that's just kind of intrigued with that size, frame, athletic ability of Brevin Spanford out of Minnesota. Austin Sagner, another guy who's had an athletic background, but he's been in college a long time. I think Brevin Spanford would be the guy in that tier four that I could see making a jump up to tier three. So there it is, guys. My tight end tiers and my tight end rankings for the 2024 NFL Draft. It's not a top-heavy class for sure. It's not a great class for sure. But I do think very similar to the running back class. Now, what makes tight end class better in the running back class is we have Brock Bowers. But the running back class, we've talked about it. There's going to be a bunch of guys who go in day two, and then a bunch of really talented players fall to the early portion of day three. And it's really going to be what flavor are you looking for? What attributes and traits are you looking for? That's how this tight end class really shakes out. If you just want a guy who has the pass catching production and involvement at, you know, in college, Jatavion Sanders might be your guy. If you have a guy who you want him to have that background in terms of production at the college level, but you want him to have much better athleticism, well, then that's going to be Ben Sinnott. If you kind of want a guy who you feel like can play in line and be a more complete tight end, but also offer pass catching upside, that might be Cade Stover or Jared Wiley. If you're talking about a guy who's got limited college production due to injuries and transferring, but really intrigued with the ceiling, that's maybe Eric Hall. So there's a lot of ways. If you want the great blocker with the special athleticism, but not much receiving production, that could be Tip Ryman. So there's a lot of ways you can kind of play this. I think it's what teams are looking for. It might be what else they have on their depth chart already. It might be, are they a team that runs a lot of two tight end sets? Do they want their tight end to be more of an inline blocking guy, or do they want him to be a pass-catching weapon, right? Each team has a different philosophy in terms of what they really want from their tight end position, and I think that's going to speak volumes on, we might not know. We might be surprised at how these tight ends come off the board on day two. We might be surprised how many of them fall to round four. And all of a sudden, we get Brock Bowers in round one, and then we get one or two in round three, and then four of my guys or five of my guys in my tier two all are sitting there as some of the best prospects available the beginning of round four. I don't think that's inconceivable at all. So I think there's a lot of ways this can kind of play out. Then you got some intrigue with some, like, you know, some smaller, you know, unknown guys. Not a lot of people are talking about Tanner McLaughlin, but we're talking about a guy who's got a athletic background, basketball background, pass catching upside that could be intriguing for sure. So it's going to be a fun tight end class to kind of break down. I don't think it's going to be great from a fantasy dynasty perspective. I think you're talking about Brock Bowers will go somewhere in round one. How high will depend on whether it's tight end premium, whether it's super flex, a lot of factors that could weigh into how high Brock Bowers goes. But then I don't think you're going to see anybody probably for the first two rounds if it's just a one tight end league. Maybe Ben Sinnott or Jatavion Sanders sneaks in the latter portion of round two, but there's so many good wide receivers. There's so many intriguing quarterbacks. And then there's so many running backs that might get drafted in that round three to early round four range, I think teams will be more intrigued with drafting them than drafting guys like Jatavion Sanders and Ben Sinop. But I think you're going to see a big gap in rookie drafts too. I think you're going to see Brock Bowers in round one. Then you might see somebody late round two in a standard one tight end league with Jatavion Sanders or Ben Sinop. And then you're going to see a lot of these guys come off the board in round three of rookie drafts. Obviously, if it's a tight end premium or two tight end, they're going to get pushed up a little bit up the board as well. I think landing spot and opportunity might matter. Last year, Brendan Strange didn't get much draft capital because we knew Evan Ingram was there. Luke Schoonmaker, same thing, right? We knew the Cowboys, might not thrust him into a big role. But we do know that, I do think the way the past notion that tight ends can't be productive early in their careers are starting to fade. I think we're seeing teams adapt to what these tight ends bring to the table. I mean, look how productive we saw Sam LaPorta last year. We had a great rookie year by Evan Ingram. We had moments last year Dalton Kincaid was very productive. So I do think the days of saying that these tight ends can't have some fantasy viability, maybe two tight end leagues more than one tight end leagues, but even in one tight end leagues, guys do emerge. I mean, I know Trey McBride was a second-year player, but he didn't play much his rookie year. And then look how much he got thrust into the mix last year and produced. So tight ends, younger tight ends are producing, I think, at a better fantasy clip than we've seen in the past, because I think NFL teams are just understanding how to utilize them a little bit better than they did in the past. So we'll see where some of these guys end up in terms of landing spot, immediate opportunity, might push them up the board a little bit in dynasty rookie drafts. Again, if you're enjoying these rankings and tier shows, please get back. Go listen to the wide receiver show. Go listen to the running back show, the quarterback show. Please get over to the website, SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. Check out our premium content tab, and for $9.99, you get access to all of our premium notebooks. You get the scouting notebook, putting the finishing touches on that. But it's got tons of information, still a few more things, final touches going on that in terms of final updates before the NFL draft. You got the rankings notebook. It has my draft rankings. It has my tiers. It'll have my dynasty rookie rankings the week of the NFL draft. It has updated Devy rankings and soon to have updated positional dynasty rankings as well. And then I will put the rookies into the mix there after the NFL draft as well. And then about a week or so before the NFL draft, I dropped the NFL draft projections notebook, which is tabs for every position, offense and defense, snapshot of how they win, developmental areas, their measurements, whether it's from the combine or pro days, their testing numbers, all that stuff, and ranked in the order in which I expect them to come off the board based on everything we're hearing, listening, and reading from the best in the industry. We have a projected top 32 tab. We have a projected top 100 tab. And then we have a projected tab for every single pick in the NFL draft, trying to project how it is. We've had tremendous, and I mean tremendous amounts of success in the draft projections notebook. We think that it alone is worth the $9.99 price tag. But then you get the rankings notebook with all that comes with. And then the scouting notebook, all our detailed scouting profiles as well. You get all of it for $9.99. Please, if you can purchase that, please, wherever you listen to the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, check out our YouTube channel. If you watch things on YouTube, you can watch the podcast on YouTube as well. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.